Headlines this hour. New classified US military video footage shows the killing of civilians in Baghdad in 2007. President Hamid Karzai once again accuses the West of organizing election fraud in Afghanistan. And human rights groups express concern over the rising number of Palestinian children held in Israeli jails.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin on World News on Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Our top story this hour. New footage has been released on a classified U.S. military video showing the indiscriminate slaying of over a dozen civilians, including two journalists, in Baghdad back in 2007. According to the website WikiLeaks, slain journalists were working for Reuters news agency. Two children were also wounded. The footage shows U.S. forces took the cameraman's camera for the RPG, which led them to repeatedly fire on a group of civilians and then on a van that stopped to rescue one of the wounded. U.S. Army is now standing accused of, quote, unprovoked slaying of the civilians. However, the U.S. military says the killings were in line with the law of armed conflict and, quote, its own rules of engagement. At the same time, a U.S. defense official confirmed that the video and audio were authentic. In the video, crew members can be heard celebrating their kills.
In other news, Afghan President Hamid Karzai has repeated his claim that the West and the United States orchestrated election fraud in his country. His latest comments have set off new tensions in the U.S.-Afghan ties. Here's more.
President Hamid Karzai says he stands by his accusations that the West was responsible for election fraud in Afghanistan. Karzai has also directly blamed the U.S. for what he called massive fraud aimed at weakening his presidency. The remarks come days after Karzai made the same accusations about foreigners. In his speech on Thursday, Karzai said foreigners had bribed and threatened election workers to carry out fraud in last year's presidential election.
There was fraud in the presidential and provincial elections. With no doubt, there was massive fraud. This wasn't fraud by Afghans, but the fraud of foreigners. The reason why they were doing all this is a different issue. They wanted to have a puppet regime, they wanted to have a servant government, or they wanted to bring a different situation in this country.
Karzai's remarks drew angry reactions from Washington, prompting the White House to ask Karzai for clarification of his remarks. On Friday, Karzai called the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, but only said he had been surprised at the furor over his claims. Karzai has tried to distance himself from his Western backers in recent days. In a visit to the southern city of Kandahar, Karzai told tribal leaders that the Afghans need to see their leaders are not puppets. He also said that government officials should not let foreigners meddle in their work.
He really owes his political career, he owes his presidency to the United States. At the same time, the fact that the United States has not been able and its NATO partners have not been able to achieve their objective, which is the subjugation of the country and to establish the complete domination after such a long period of war, now in its ninth year, causes even the client regimes to begin to move away or to look in different directions.
Karzai's recent remarks have drawn further U.S. frustration. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says Karzai's remarks are troubling and untrue. Gibbs says Washington will continue to work with Karzai, but emphasized that the trouble with the Afghan president could end up endangering U.S. military operations in the country.
Right now, as the United States is vastly escalating its war effort and number of troops in Afghanistan, it cannot afford to have greater, even greater chaos in the country. And I think that Karzai is aware of that fact and is banking on that as a means of ensuring his remaining in office.
8 people have been killed in a major assault on the U.S. consulate in Pakistan's northwest provincial capital, Peshawar. The U.S. embassy in Islamabad has condemned the attacks, but Taliban militants say there's more to come.
Over a dozen militants carried out the attacks on Monday, breaching heavy security at the U.S. mission. Two vehicles packed with explosives sped towards the U.S. consulate. The first blew up at a checkpoint 50 meters away from the target, and the second exploded just outside the gates. A shootout between the assailants and the security forces followed, and rocket-propelled grenades were launched at the building. Several people were killed. Before the dust settled, a pro-Taliban group claimed responsibility for the attacks. Such incidents are not uncommon in Pakistan, but the question is why Americans are the favorite target.
That the U.S. drone attacks are ruthlessly massacring the tribal people of Pakistan. This is how the Taliban are looking at it. Number two, the Taliban infrastructure is being attacked both by the U.S. Drones and also by the Pakistani Air Force. I think they just wanted to make a statement that we are not sitting idle, that our infrastructure is not fully damaged, that we are capable of reacting as and when we so decide. The people of Pakistan know two things, that the United States is using the assets of Pakistan and the Islamic Republic to promote its interest in the region. They know that the United States is in strategic partnership with India and not with Pakistan. The drone attacks, the aerial attacks, people are watching the level of intrusion by the United States. So this is very much, the people and the government are at odds when it comes to the national interest of Pakistan.
The militants have released a statement saying the bombings were an act of revenge, a response to U.S. drone attacks on Pakistani soil. Since President Barack Obama came into power, such attacks have increased. U.S. drones have killed 830 people since August 2008. This has intensified anti-American sentiment in the country. Washington says it is trying to flush out militants, but U.S. attacks usually claim civilian lives. Earlier on Monday, another attack rattled Pakistan, hitting the northwestern district of Lower Deer. A bomb was detonated near an open-air political rally, killing dozens of people. Monday's attacks have raised questions about Islamabad's ability to keep the peace.
But the reason it was possible was that there is an element of being lax within the Pakistani security establishment. If you remember, by the end of the year, we had major attacks in different cities of Pakistan. Then there was a lull. After a few weeks, then we had another series of attacks in the city of Lahore. Then the security forces tightened their belts, got active, and they were able to control the situation for a little while. And now that these major attacks are taking place against the Taliban in the North Waziristan and in the Orokzai Agency and other areas, so they wanted to make a statement that, you're not safe. If we are not safe, we would not let you stay safe either.
Over the past 3 years, bomb attacks have killed more than 3,000 people in Pakistan. They have been blamed on militants opposed to Washington's activities in their country. Now many ask whether the U.S. military intervention in the region has helped quell terrorism or only intensified it.
The increase in the number of child prisoners at the hands of Israeli jailers has raised alarm among human rights groups.
Report released by human rights group Amnesty International says that many Palestinian prisoners suffer medical negligence. The report has also said the children face routine beatings, position torture, and strip searches. A number only spend a few days in detention before their release. But others could end up spending years behind bars.
The occupying force, in its practice with Palestinian children, relies upon military orders, which were particularly designed and issued with the goal of punishing Palestinian people. These measures as a whole are run counter to international laws, especially the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Israel has signed and agreed to.
Last month's revelations by Israel of plans to expand settlements in East Jerusalem Al-Quds drew Palestinian protesters to the streets who faced off with Israeli police. In the West Bank city of Al-Khalil, four children, all members of the same family, were detained by Israeli soldiers for hurling stones at the military during last month's clashes. Moed Mohsen is one of 60 children arrested by the Israeli military during house-to-house searches following the protests in Shufat camp. The 14-year-old was detained for 46 days.
Since my release from prison, I have not seen my friends. They just visited me once or twice because it's not good for them to keep seeing me. But I've only seen them a few times, and that was a while ago. I have been at home for 1-2 months, and I'm so bored with my life. I wish I could go out with my friends and play with them, football and such, be able to hang out together. But it's over. I'm just stuck at home now.
There are thousands of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails, including hundreds of children under the age of 18. And according to non-governmental organization Defense for Children International, quote, significant numbers of Palestinian children are still being arrested.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Quick check of the headlines this hour. New classified U.S. military video footage shows the killing of civilians in Baghdad in 2007. President Hamid Karzai once again accuses the West of organizing election fraud in Afghanistan. And human rights groups express concern over the rising number of Palestinian children held in Israeli jails.